Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey everyone, just before we crack into this very, very funny episode with Tim Clark, just a few bits of housekeeping to do before the show. So, Comedy Festival, it started. Hurrah! Hopefully you're going out and seeing as many shows as you can. Enjoy the month. I'm doing a bunch of shows. So I'm doing the 6 different podcasts. So 4 at Morris House, ex-European Beer Cafe. They start this Saturday, 3 o'clock. Get your tickets, go to joshua.com.au. They're $15 each for a season pass for $50. Super cheap. It's the cheapest I've done it in years, actually. Because I know that, you know, money's tight everywhere. So I want people to come and see the shows. So go along, get the tickets. Also, this Tuesday night, I'm doing the 100% Hits Best of the Best of 97. A bunch of people have said, hey, is it okay if this really good band come and support me while I do my song? Yeah, that's fine, Jude Pearl. Have Tripod come. So that's going to be fun. They're doing a Shania Twain song. I've written it. I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. The 9 songs that the people are doing, they're great. So it's 11:30, Tuesday, the 4th of April, at Max Watts as part of the Festival Club. So make sure you come on down. It's going to be fun. Also, I'm doing the 18th of April, the Festival Club as well, the Don't You Know Who I Am, the international one. So we have Deanne Smith, Sarah Schaefer, Ed Gamble, and Mark Watson. So that's going to be a great one. So make sure you go to joshua.com for all the tickets.au as well. Also, I'm doing my kids show, which is called Humankind. So this is starting this Sunday, April 2nd. Almost sold out. Probably by the time this goes up, you'll probably be like less than 10 tickets left, fingers crossed. This weekend almost sold out, but if you've got kids or you know kids and you want to take them along to something fun, the other weekends, they're wide open, everyone. So come along. I'm not doing April 9 because that's Easter Sunday. I reckon the rabbit might beat me for kids' entertainment, but it's 11:30 at Kew Courthouse. Really nice little venue as well. And yeah, it's great. So the kids will enjoy it. You'll enjoy it as well. Tickets at joshua.com.au. Everyone, if you want to hear, if you're outside of Melbourne or you can't get to the live podcasts, get on Patreon. They're all going to go up on Patreon pretty much the next day, I'd say, all the shows. So they won't be in the main feed. Even the 100% Hits Best of 97 won't be in the main feed. So to hear that, the full unedited version of it, go to patreon.com/dykwia. That's patreon.com/dykwia. And you'll be able to hear the full unedited versions of all these podcasts that I'm doing in the festival. $5 a month it is. So thank you very much. Enjoy this episode. It's super funny. With Tim Clark. Hello and welcome to 100% Hits Volume Pod, the podcast that looks at the greatest compilation series this country's ever produced. My name is Josh Earl, and this week, very special guest. First time on the show, should have been on last week, but I did a big old fuck up. Gompies, can you please welcome into your ears, into your hearts, it's Tim Clark, everyone. Yay.
The return of the king, he's back.
He's back, baby.
And now I've upgraded from a podcast recording studio to a fancy meeting room.
It is. We're here at Superdoll Studios. We have a projector screen on a very long table. Mm. We have a photocopier, which Tim's been getting up to shenanigans, people. He's been getting on there, photocopying his face.
It's a full moon tonight, if you know what I mean.
How
it did seem like being let in here, I was about to be fired from the podcast.
Yes. I should do a podcast apprentice. I'm sorry. You have to do another podcast. Radio did not want to pick you up. How have you been?
I've been very well. Thank you very much, Josh. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here. I was having some drinks with some friends last night and mentioned that I was doing this podcast today and read out the list of songs that we're going to go through.
Yes.
And the audible oohs and ahs, the gasps. If they were a southern gentleman, they would be fanning themselves with a handkerchief.
Oh, my. Yeah.
I was giving them the vapors. It's a great lineup today.
It is a great lineup. It's volume 23, side A. Mm. So we did side B last week with Luca Muller. We're doing side A this week. And I held on to this because you know, other people I would go, I'm just going to swap it around and do it in the order. But I'd already sent you the order.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a good collection of songs. I'd felt very bad if I went, actually, no, Tim, you're not going to get a Hanson and Umbop. You're going to get these other songs.
Yeah.
But this one comes with an ad for TV, which someone sent me. So I thought,
no Third Eye Blind for you, Tim. You get Texas, yes. Which I do like.
Yeah. Let's play. This is the ad for 100% Hits Volume 23, just to get you in the mood.
100% Hits Volume 23. 18 hits like Hanson and Blur. Meredith Brooks. Spider-Bait. Mr. President and Savage Garden. Also featuring Brain Bud, Alicia's Attic, Jewel, Eternal and Diana Arnaid. Spice Girls, Texas, Rani, Culture, Keith Sweat and Third Eye Blind. The best so far is one.
Now, the one they didn't say, but they showed their name on, was Boyzone.
Oh, right.
They're like, oh, we've got them on, but we're not going to promote them.
Yeah. Jewel got the and featuring as well.
All right. So we're gonna kick you this. So 1997. How old were you?
I was turning six.
Six? Yeah. Oh, you're a lot younger than I thought you were.
I get that a lot.
Oh, really?
But also from younger people I get, you're a lot older than I thought. No one thinks I'm 31.
I had a gig the other night and it was with Dave Thornton and mm-hmm. another young comic. I won't say her name.
Okay.
But she was like, I mentioned I was 41. Dave mentioned he was 43. And she went, you guys seem younger, like 38. And I was like, that's the same.
There's no difference
It's
there.
The same. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. And then she made fun of me for wearing a corduroy shirt. And I was like going, oh, it's all right.
Corduroy is fine.
I thought it was fine. Let people know I'm coming. All right, here we go. We're going to kick off this playlist, the great playlist, with a song which was a huge song in my school when I was in year 11. This is The Boys of Hanson, straight from Oklahoma, with a song, their debut single went to number one in the States and stayed there for 3 weeks. Here it is, Bop, and what a bop it is.
Gotta wait for that crunchy guitar sound to kick in.
Initial thoughts, Tim?
Well, let me just say this. If it's wrong to be a 40-year-old man listening to Hanson with a 30-year-old man in a meeting room on a Sunday afternoon, completely silent, bobbing along while we wait for the break to come in, then I don't want to be right, Josh.
We were swinging in our chairs.
It was great.
Club movement.
Yeah, yeah. My favorite part was you trying to turn the volume up on the laptop, realizing that it was all the way up. It's that good of a bop.
It really is. Yeah. It's a good song. I loved it at year 11, so mm-hmm. I was 15, 16, too old, I think. It was in that time where this is not the kind of music I was liking, but I thought it was pretty cool.
I would imagine, yeah, this would go over terribly with men, boys, in year 11, year 12 at the time, because I was like turning six.
Yeah.
I remember, I don't think I had this exact CD, but I definitely had a compilation with a bunch of these songs, and Mbop loved it at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was six, perfect, right in the wheelhouse.
Well, there was this and Ooh, I Want You by Savage Garden. When they were first singles, everyone was like, these bands are cool. And then their next singles were like ballads and were like, they're not cool. But I remember the Monday after it aired on Rage, going into school, we were all talking about it. This boy band called Hanson until Ryan, I won't say his full name, came into school and he was like, have you heard that band Hanson? And we're like, yeah, it's really cool. It's a good song. And he goes, yeah, their lead singer, she's so hot.
Uh-oh.
And we were like, oh, Ryan, we've got some news for you. That's a boy. And look, I'm not going to say, look, let's say 97 Tasmania. We weren't as culturally sensitive as we probably would have been in 2023.
Right.
Yeah. Paul Ryan. He's all right. He's doing fine.
Hey, it's 1907. Boys can sing as well.
Yes. So the boys are Isaac, Taylor, and Zach.
Right.
And I didn't realize until I wrote it down, their parents really love the name Zach.
Yeah.
It's like I'm saying, do you have brothers?
Yes.
We've got Tim. We've got
Time.
Grant and I Tim.
I Tim 2.0, they introduced you in the grand final and everyone hated it. I got to say, I know Hanson. I don't know all the hits. I know them just peripheral. Big smack of Christian energy to them.
Yeah, well, they're from Oklahoma.
Right.
I think that's what they call the Bible Belt.
Little Okie boys.
Yeah.
Blonde bobs. Yeah. Isaac, Zach, Taylor.
Yeah. They
go to church.
They started off in Tulsa singing a cappella versions of Rock and Robin and Splish Splash, you know.
That
Splish
would be so cute.
I was taking a bath. Across talent contests all around Oklahoma. Then they recorded two independent albums. Mbop was on it.
Right.
So they wrote this when they were all, not even all of them in their teens yet. And this is the first version of it. This is, it's a slowed down version. So I'll play it for you here. So see.
This will appear in like a trailer for a superhero movie.
Yeah. It's almost like you've left your record player on the different speed setting and you've played it.
I think the album popularity is much prefer the first one.
Yeah,
much faster. But this I quite like.
It's quite nice. Yes.
And was that ever released on like a formal album of theirs once they actually signed?
Not once they signed. When they were going around all like doing their own shows, they had their own little CD they would sell at concerts and stuff like that.
Lovely.
And then they got signed, but it was one of those things that people didn't believe that they wrote the songs. They were like, "These are too good to be true."
The lyrics make too much sense.
Yes.
For a preteen boy.
But then when they got signed, they got the producers were the Dust Brothers. So do you know the Dust Brothers?
Oh yeah, I know the just by reputation.
You're allowed to say it.
They
did the music for the film Fight Club.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh,
so that was in Fight Club came out in 99, so we'd have been working on that in 98. This was 96, 97 they would have been working
big
on this.
Years for the Dust Boys.
Yeah. They just finished working on Odelay by Beck.
Right.
And there was a rumor around that Hanson was a Beck kind of like experiment side project kind of thing.
Oh.
Because his last name is Hanson.
Right.
And he was into doing weird shit. Like he would do gigs where he'd just get a leaf blower and just blow it on stage. And then that would be the gig.
Right, right. So, yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah. But that is not true.
Okay.
Hanson are their own thing. No relation. They even spell Hanson differently. Mm. Okay.
But Andrew WK is still four people, right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Four different people.
Two of them are Avril Lavigne's.
At the time, also, the Dust Brothers had worked also on Korn's Kick the PA track from the Spawn soundtrack. So this year.
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
They were going from Hanson to Korn.
Oh, you've got it all. You've got Spawn. You've got Fight Club.
I didn't realize Spawn, Korn, Hanson. Okay. So they added the drum break. They sped it up. They said, let's get it faster. And then they also added the scratches from, they sampled them from Buffalo Gals, the Malcolm McLaren 1982 kind of, but they sampled, they could have just done the same scratches.
Right.
But they sampled it and would have had to pay.
Very strange. Yeah. I guess maybe back in the day, they were just transitioning out of technology where they could make scratches that easily?
No, you could do scratches. This was 97. This was the birth of every like new metal band having a turntablist.
Oh, scratches on a turntable. Oh, right. Yeah.
And then years later, it had to change into being the keyboardist. Okay, so speaking of transitioning, Taylor Hanson's voice was also transitioning at this point. And he never could play this version live, like the sped up version.
Yep.
And so they had to move it to a different key when they played it live, just because he couldn't hit the high notes anymore.
Oh, right. Yep. I've not seen it. I know they went through a bit of a like a resurgence recently, like probably a bit of a nostalgia kick. I know I've dated at least two women who stayed up to 3 a.m. in the morning to see like the YouTube live streamed concert they did a couple of years ago.
Great.
I know my types. Nostalgic ladies. I really don't know what they would. I think they just slow it down now back to similar to the
Yeah, they just
The demo version.
Change a key, put it up, and then I think they play it on acoustic guitars now. I think that's their thing. The video was directed by Tamron Davis, who directed Billy Madison.
Oh, my goodness.
She's done it all.
Probably one of the most influential people in my life.
You didn't even realize.
Yeah, yeah. Comedy stylings and Hanson, I can thank for a lot of haircuts in my day.
All right, moving on.
All right.
This is it's a great story, okay, of this next act. This is Meredith Brooks and her version.
Her version. I know exactly where this is going.
Of the Chris Franklin classic, Bloke. Her version, Bitch.
But you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath, innocent and sweet. Yesterday I cried. You must have been relieved to see the softer side. I can understand how you'd be so confused. I don't envy you. I'm a little bit of everything, all roll into one. I'm a I'm a lover, I'm a child, I'm a mother, I'm a sinner, I'm a saint. I do not feel ashamed, I'm your hell, I'm your dream. I'm nothing in between, you know you wouldn't want it any other way. So take me.
Here we go.
Great track.
It is really good. Yeah. I listened to that and I'm surprised that no one sampled the guitar bit. It sounds like a really good guitar bit to do something else with.
Yeah, that is interesting. It must be annoying to watch it, to see Meredith Brooks in concert as well, and she has to play Bloke first so you have the context. I'm so glad I get to be here for the first in-context Bloke chat.
You know what? It's come up about three times.
Oh, I know.
We've talked about Bloke, but now we finally have context. So this is Meredith Brooks' story. She'd already had a 20-year career before this song came out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This was her first big hit. She was in a band called Sapphire. They're from Portland. They moved to Seattle because the scene was better.
Mm-hmm.
The band split up in 86.
Right.
She did a solo album that had some success in Mexico.
Okay.
That's all. In 87, she formed a trio called Graces, which had a song called Lay Down Your Arms, and that got to 56 in the States.
Okay. And you may have mentioned it. What kind of music was Sapphire playing?
Sapphire was a rock band.
Rock band. All right, cool.
Graces was more an acoustic band.
Mm-hmm.
56, I think 56 is enough to go, yeah, I think I can have a career in this.
Mm.
I shouldn't just give up.
No.
I've got fans in Mexico, 56 in... It's rolling. In 91, though, her label dropped her, and so she went solo again. She signed to Capitol in 95, and 2 years later, this song came out from her album, Blurring the Edges. It got to number 2 here in Australia and Canada, and 6 in the UK.
Do you have what kept it from reaching the top?
No, but in 90...
It could be coming up.
It could be coming up. In 97, I'm going to have a guess, it was the Macarena. But it's co-written by a woman called Shelley Pyken, who also wrote What a Girl Wants.
Oh, great.
By Christina Aguilera, yeah.
Okay, all right.
But this is according to what Shelley, this is what she said about the song. She goes, I had the opening lines, I hate the world today, and went, this is perfect for Meredith, and got her to finish it off. So I'm going to say those years before, from 91 after she got dropped to 95, probably not a great time in Meredith's life.
No. Meredith, this suits you perfectly. I hate the world today. You fill in the rest. I'm a bitch.
The label were hesitant about releasing it, though, because it was called Bitch.
I could see why, yeah.
And they wanted her to change the title called Nothing In Between.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, people would just call it the bitch song.
Yeah.
Regardless.
And they also wanted to censor the word bitch in the chorus.
I've definitely heard... versions of this on the radio back in the day where they have bleeped out. Not bleeped,
I'm a lover.
I'm a lover. God, it was a good day when you heard this song as a 6-year-old when you could sing along It's like when you find out bitch is also like a female dog.
Oh, yeah.
Carte blanche.
Yeah.
Can't. No jury would convict me. I'm allowed to.
It was finding that out, and also dude in our school, I don't know, it might have been different in your school, but dude was a camel's penis.
I've always heard...
A whale's penis?
No, I've always heard testicles.
Oh.
Like a horse and camel testicles.
Oh, we were told dude is a camel's penis. So a cool dude is a cold camel's penis.
Okay.
We thought that was the best thing.
You run around calling your teachers cool dudes.
Yeah, you're a cool dude. Yeah, got him. All right, moving on. Another debut single for a band who we haven't, of course, haven't talked about ever. I don't even think they've come up in passing. This is Third Eye Blind and their song Semi-Charmed Life. Really is the boppiest number about Crystal Meth you'll ever hear.
Oh, God. Makes me want to lose my virginity at prom. Which will happen someday, listeners.
You just need to be invited to a prom.
He really gave it a shot with the high notes. You can't take it away from him.
I apologize. I said I've never mentioned them before. I have mentioned it before.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mentioned in the episode we did about Four Non Blondes, What's Up, that Linda Perry and the lead singer of this band, Stephen Jenkins, were housemates.
At really? One point.
Yeah, and they both played each other their new songs, and she played What's Up and he played this.
God.
And they didn't know at the time, but they just played each other songs that would go on to sell 17 million copies.
God, to be combined. A fly on that bong-stained, riddled
You know there would have been another housemate just going, can you two shut the fuck up with this? Like, yeah. So
I've got to go to band practice with my four teammates. Ginger, baby, scary, posh. It's me, sporty.
The good one.
I really like Mbop. Nothing to take away with it. Real missed opportunity from opening this CD with that track, because the drums at the start, so good.
It is. Look, I really like this song in terms of it takes me back to a place. Mm. It's not the type of music I like, right. But it is. This was 97. This was perfect for year 11, year 12. 2 years later, I watched American Pie, and I'm like, that's. Like the guys I kind of hang out with.
This is the soundtrack to my schoolies.
Yes. So it's about Crystal Meth, which apparently they saw their friends take at a Primus gig and then wrote about the experience. He says it's...
Meth at a Primus gig?
I know.
Jesus.
You'd think more mushrooms or acid?
Yeah, a downer at least. It's psychedelic, yeah.
Yeah, Primus are one of those bands which... In the wrong party, you'd get stuck talking to a guy who just wants to talk to about the bass licks in Primus songs.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh.
Are you that guy?
Your Tool shirt is in the wash, yes. I see. Okay. I like Primus. They're fine.
Betty's Big Brown Beaver was a fun song in high school to learn about. That was good. Okay, so this was a response song to Lou Reed's Walk on the Wild Side. Hence the doot, 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 because he says, and the color girl goes, doot, 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 yep. So that's... I don't know if you would know that without him having to say, oh, yeah, I wrote this as a response. I think there should be more response songs.
Yeah. An interpolation, I think, is technically what he could use in a court of law.
Okay, this got to 29 on the Hottest 100.
Oh, great.
In 98, Dave Grohl declared it the song, especially the lyrics, he wished he'd written.
Ooh, all right.
I can't imagine Dave Grohl doing this song.
No.
Big year, 98, for Stephen. So Dave Grohl said that about him. He was also dating Charlize Theron.
Whoa, all right.
He then went on a...
The devil's advocate herself.
Yes, he went on a three-month tour with what could be the most 90s co-headline tour of the decade.
Ooh, oh, I want to hear this.
And I reckon a young Tim Clark would have loved tickets at this concert.
I think a 31-year-old Tim Clark would have loved tickets to this.
Third Eye Blind and Smash Mouth.
Oh, okay. Now I'm on board.
Yeah. So he and Charlize Theron, they broke up in 2001 and he started dating Vanessa Carlton.
Oh, all right.
And he produced her early stuff.
Great. Are they still together?
He and Vanessa Carlton are not, but the band are.
Oh, that's great.
They're still going. Last year they did a tour with Talking Back Sunday.
Ooh.
And the Australian band Hockey Dad.
Talking Back Sunday is my new podcast.
Sorry, Taking Back Sunday. I've written Talking.
And who else? Sorry.
And Hockey Dad, which are an Australian band.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of Hockey Dad.
From Brisbane. I have this thing on the show where I'll read it differently to how I say it. Mm-hmm. And it's real Anchorman vibes. I'll just say whatever's I've written. I'll just say it how it's written. Yeah.
Talking Back Sunday would be a podcast I would have done 6 years ago to no listeners, 10 episodes, and then deleted it overnight.
Do you like this song?
I do like this song, yeah. Like I said, it's nostalgia is really playing a big part of this.
Yeah.
Because it was on so many soundtracks and movie trailers in like late 90s, early 2000s. It's a lot of fun. I was just looking at them. That first album had a couple of good hits. They had Jumper and How's It Gonna Be, which are both... less pop, not less poppy, less fast pace. I can't even think of the word, but good on your Third Eye Blind.
You know who else loves this song?
Who else loves this song?
Gillian Cosgrove loves this song, and
great,
she's performing it at the Best of 97 on April 4. Listeners, go and get your tickets now at Max Watts, 11:30 on a school night. I know, but still. And I sent her the list, and she came back within milliseconds saying, Third Eye Blind, it is unironically my favourite song of all time.
Oh, fantastic. What day was that again? April 4th?
April 4th.
Wednesday?
Tuesday. Although, Gillian will be on Wednesday because it starts at 11:30. So,
okay,
true. Early Wednesday morning she'll be on.
Well, I will be there.
Great. All right, moving on to a song. You mentioned that the last song should have started the album. This song should have been the second song. This is Song 2 by Blur.
Woo-hoo!
I was contemplating stopping it there.
I mean, in hindsight, you should have.
We'll see what the edit says.
Woohoo!
There we go. That's where I'll stop it. Okay, so here it is. The fourth track on this album.
Oh,
but it is the number two track on their self-titled album.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the second single. Came in at number two on the Hottest 100.
Oh, perfect.
Number two in the UK.
Great.
And BBC One listeners voted it in 1998 the 15th greatest song of all time.
Okay.
So the numbers did go, but still. Also, it's 2 minutes and 2 seconds long as well, and there's other things in it which are like
it all fits.
It's like the Da Vinci Code with this song. So we've talked about the band three times. I think this is the fourth time they've been on the show. So Graham Coxon, he took over more of a songwriting role. So before that, Damon Albarn, who'd kind of been doing everything, Damon Albarn was like, if you guys want to write the songs, go for it. I'm enjoying being on heroin. So you guys go for it. So he, like Graham Coxon, was really into the American guitar bands and kind of wanted to write a dumb song to almost stick it up the record label that he was with. And so he suggested this song as, this will show them. And the labels loved it. Went, yeah, great. Yeah, do more stuff like this. And
it is
like,
a good song. It is undeniably dumb.
Yes. He said he thought it was too extreme. And so it's 2 minutes, 2 seconds, two verses, two choruses.
Right.
So
okay.
Song two. At the height of Britpop, Graham Coxon hated the fakeness of it all, the industry. He didn't want to appear in the Blur song Country House film clip unless, and these were his stipulations, I must be dressed as a milkman and take no part in any action with which I feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
He got in it.
One of them sounds very reasonable. Yes. Don't force anyone to do anything they don't want to.
So that's
a bit uptight. Needs a bit of heroin in his diet. Chill out, man.
So this song, still, you hear it all the time still.
Yeah.
It has not gone away.
I remember I listened to the episode now 2 weeks ago with Tommy Dasilo, and you were talking about jock jams.
Yes.
This is surely up there as one of the new jock jams.
Yeah, this Seven Nation Army,
yeah.
Always played in stadiums. So the Japanese national football team play this as their song.
Oh, great.
The Italian football team, Juventus, play this. Western United here in Australia play it. St. Pauli play it, which is the German. St. Pauli is the cool German football team, by the way. Like, all the punks like St. Pauli.
Okay.
They have like a skull and crossbones as their mascot.
Right,
I don't know what division they're in. I don't think they're good. But yeah, that's the... Yeah. I only know that because Art Brut have a song about it.
Right.
And yeah. Liverpool.
And also who support them, big fans of Fat Pizza. St. Pauli.
The patron saint of... I saw Pauli Fennec at the Arias throw a thong into the audience. It was a great moment.
Now, that's too extreme for me.
Liverpool Football Club use this when they score a goal. And also the professional ice hockey team, the Ottawa Senators. Which
All
is
right.
a great name.
The Ottawa Senators.
The Senators.
Are they in the NHL?
They're...
Or second division, whatever the case may be.
Or are they in the Canadian League? I don't know.
Right,
I don't follow. It's one of the few sports I have no idea.
I'm not a big sports person myself, but I do occasionally get sucked into like 20-minute long YouTube videos of just college football teams running into a stadium to enter Sandman or this or Seven Nation Army.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's great. They got the fireworks going and jets flying overhead.
It's at the minute there's March Madness, the NCAA... Mm-hmm. Basketball tournament, and it's so exciting, Tim. Yeah. Even though the games are so bad, you still have like 30,000 people in the stands who go to that college or went to that college in tears. Either way, if their team wins, their team loses, because it's a knockout competition. It's like if you're out, you're gone, and you have these guys who they'll never play NBA, they'll never play professional basketball, but they're here and they're doing it and they're doing the best they can, and it really gets me, Tim.
Oh,
I'm watching
beautiful.
It and I'm like going, oh my. This team from this super expensive college, but their basketball program sucks, beating the national champions from last year. A real Cinderella story. I love it. It goes off. Speaking of going off, our next artist, Diana Arnaid, and her classic song, I Go Off.
100,000 fireflies light up before me, and if I turn my head on to the side, they become my ceiling and the floor is slippery, but I'm not scared because I dance with my guitar when my feet are bare and the lights are so bright and so unreal and my fingers are bleeding, but I can't feel it. And if you think that I'm quiet, then you don't read my eyes, because I've got a lot to say and most of the time I'll go off. And if you don't believe that, I'll go off right here, right now. I'll go off. And if you don't believe that, well, I'll go off. You're not listening very hard.
There we have it. I go off. Thoughts, Tim?
This was the only one out of the whole playlist that I'd not heard before.
Oh, you not heard this one?
I'd not heard this one before.
Oh, my.
No. And tell what, I really like it.
I like it too.
I think it's great. I did not know what it was going to be going into it. Did not know expecting it. It's just Diana's voice and a twangy guitar, and it's great.
Yep. So her name is a palindrome.
Okay.
Diana.
Oh,
her real name is Diana Gosper.
I was going to ask about the name because in Spotify, it's spelled A-N...
With an H?
No H. And then when you showed the ad at the start, it was A-H space.
Yes. She put the H for numerological reasons.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking about here. So this is from her debut album. It was released on her 21st birthday. They did a big release party and on her 21st. So this is her life story. Pretty incredible. So
may I just say, that blew my mind. I did not think. I thought she was like early 40s. She got a great voice.
Yes. So her mum died when she was one. Her dad and her two brothers traveled around the country, and she said her dad was trying to run away from his demons. She spent time in foster care, children's homes. And at age 15, her and her brothers estranged from her father, settled in Nimbin. So near, that's near Byron Bay area.
Yeah, somewhere near there.
At age 16, she became a mum. And she would do gigs in Byron Bay and recorded this album. It cost her $10,000 and she got 500 copies of it pressed. And her launch was at the Nimbin Bush Theatre on 8th of April, 1997, on her 21st birthday. She also sent one of those 500 copies to the King, Richard Kingsmill.
Okay.
Who was hosting on Triple J the new music show called, this year, 1997.
Right.
Yep. He loved the track I Go Off and put it on the rotation. The song peaked at 35 in the ARIA singles charts. In the Hottest 100 that year, it got to 58.
Ooh.
She was nominated for two ARIAs in 98 for Breakthrough Artist and Breakthrough Song. Lost both to Natalie Imbruglia.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you can't go past the Imbruglia.
Yeah.
Now, I recall vividly a batshit interview she did on a TV show called McFeast, which was Elle McFeast.
Oh, yeah.
Libby Gore. Yeah.
Yeah.
So this was a short-lived show.
Yeah.
It was like a interview show, a bit like your Andrew Denton Enough Rope, where she'd get like just people on. It was like a Tonight Show.
Right.
And a week before the Dana Arnaid episode,
right,
they got Mark Chopper Reed, notorious gangland murderer. Yeah. And
this is the real Chopper, not...
this is not Heath Franklin doing his
in
thing.
In character with Libby Gore, in character as Elle McFeast.
Yes. So...
shout out to any international listeners. We've had some great culture here in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Chopper had just got out of prison.
Right.
He'd been writing his books.
Mm-hmm.
They were number one bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
The ABC, McFeast in particular, they paid for him. He was living in Hobart. Yeah. They paid for him to come up. They put him in a thing and they said, we're going to give you like carte blanche to say whatever you want on air. Like, you'll tell your story. We think we're going to make you, like, we'll sell some books for you. It's going to be great.
Right.
And they're like, the other, because it was live, the other stations will edit it up. You won't get final edit. So he went, yep, cool, and signed. But they did it in a way that you can't get paid for your, can't get paid from crime kind of thing. So
yeah, or, what is the word I'm looking for? Yeah.
Proceeds from crime. Anyway, so he got them to donate to a charity and he would do the, like, children's hospital. But the children's hospital say, we're not taking any donations from Mark Chopper Reed.
Mm.
And so he would get the police to donate for him. So he would laugh and say, the police are actually laundering money for me into right. charities. Like, yeah. So he flies over. The apparently the producers were told, don't like give him too much time on his own because he's not gonna cope well. He drank all the beer in the green room.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came on air, he was very pissed and was trying, like, was mentioned something about...
I mean, putting beer in the green room was the first mistake.
Like, mentioned something about Libby's appearance, like, kind of talked about her tits, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrible. You can't find it online anywhere.
Oh, damn it.
It is one of the things. I went looking for it. Mm-hmm. I also went looking for the Diana Arnaid
right.
2 weeks or a week after. Because I remember someone in the audience, because she was kind of, I'm not sure if she was on drugs or not, but she was very erratic.
Mm-hmm.
And Elle McFeast, Libby Gore, was trying to make any sense out of the interview. And then someone in the audience yelled out, introduce her to Chopper. And it got a huge big laugh. And a few weeks later, I think the show was cancelled and it was done. And they, yeah.
God damn.
But not Diana Arnaid's fault.
No.
Yep. So thanks, Diana. That was great.
What a whirlwind tour through Australian culture. God damn. Crazy.
All right. Here we go. Another singer.
Like when Julian Assange was on David Tench. I was trying to think, who else is Australian?
David Tench, for those who don't know, David Tench was a computer animated Tonight Show host, and his first big guest was Nick Lachey.
I forgot it was Nick Lachey.
Yeah. And it was... another Andrew Denton, we mentioned enough, right? Andrew Denton was kind of like producing it.
Oh.
But they didn't say who it was, but it was a fun, because I was doing comedy at that time.
Okay.
And it was very fun as a host to introduce anyone with a bit of profile going, hey guys, big guest, the voice of David Tench, Lawrence Mooney. And he'd get up and then people would do that. And
one of the Kranskys is voicing it. You'll never know.
And in the Herald Sun Confidential, they actually would write, rumor is that Lawrence Mooney is the host because he was introduced and it was great. I didn't introduce him as David Tench, someone else did. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
To another man who spells his name backwards. This is Cram from the band Spiderbait, real name Mark. This is their song, Calypso. That's the 40%.
Great tune.
Very, very good tune.
Yeah.
So this is the band. So Cram, Janet, Witt. They're the three members.
If you had to, if you had like a sitcom in 2003 about a band starting up, you would name them Cram, Janet and
Witt.
Witt.
Yep. Third single.
He's the dumb one.
Third single from their hugely popular album, Ivy and the Big Apples. Okay. So this song got to 13 in Australia. 23 in the Hottest 100 that year.
That's surprisingly low.
So that's what I thought because
they won that year for Buy Me a Pony?
The year before they won with Buy Me a Pony. They were the first Australian band to win the Hottest 100.
Really? Oh, yeah. I was looking at the winners recently. Yeah, it makes sense.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah. Triple J darlings and also darlings of every festival, it seemed, in Australia around the time. Mm. Like, if you ever went in the mosh of a Spiderbait gig, it was pretty hectic. Oh. As a small man, a small young man getting punched in the head by people with like tool t-shirts. They're originally from Finlay in New South Wales. Cram got accepted into VCA in Melbourne in 91.
Must be nice.
So they all moved there. He was doing music, not the drama. And they started doing gigs at the Tote.
Great.
Where they met the band The Meanies. And The Meanies introduced them to the people at Ogogo Records. And from there, they started releasing independently with Ogogo.
Great. And,
yeah. Most like... They kind of, you know, are known overseas. Mm. They had a song in the Sex and the City movie.
Oh, really?
Shazam.
That's what I'll be using when I next watch Sex and the City. I want to know what the song is.
So have you seen Spiderbait live?
No.
They're a fun band. Like, they're just a three-piece.
Yeah. Are they still together?
They are. They released, or they did release or about to release an album called Songs in the Key of J, I think. And it's a best of with all the Janet sung songs.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. All right. So Cram, really good, really, even though he's on drums, almost like the front man of the gig, of the show, of the band.
Oh, I love when a drummer is the front man.
Yeah.
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 He doesn't happen that much, but...
He and Janet sings. I think Witt sings a couple, but someone will correct me. But... yeah, Cram is one of those guys who is so enigmatic. I'm surprised he hasn't been tapped on the shoulder to do, like, TV stuff.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not a huge Spiderbait fan. I mean, we had this album as a family, so I definitely remember this one and Buy Me a Pony. And I looked it up. They did do the Black Betty cover, which was huge as well. But yeah, any interviews I've seen with Cram seems like a very charismatic guy.
Yep.
Great name as well.
Yes.
Great as like an Aussie curio to just pop out. Cram from Spiderbait. It's great. They should be a band called Cram from Spiderbait.
Really should be. All right. Big fan. My son is also a big fan of this song.
Oh, gorgeous.
And when he was like two, I would get him to sing. He loved it. And then he would sing it. And then at the end go, I'm rocking out. Anyway. here we go. Oh, beautiful. another person we've talked about before, another person who will be having a song performed at the live show. This is Jewel, and this is You Were Meant For Me.
Hear the clock, it's 6 a.m. I feel so far from where I've been. I got my eggs, I got my pancakes too. I got my maple syrup, everything but you. I break the yolks and make a smiley face. I kinda like it in my brand new place. Wipe the spots off of the mirror, don't leave my keys in the door. I never put wet towels on the floor anymore, 'cause trains last so long, even after you're gone. I know that you love me, and so you will see you're meant for me, and I was meant for you.
There we go.
Oh, great tune.
You like it?
Yeah, I do. I really like it because I think our family had this album as well. I think my mum was big into Jewel at this time.
Was your mum into Jewel, Sheryl Crow?
Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Shania Twain.
I know your mum. Great.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's an Aussie mum. Just doing it one day at a time. And who she got to help her out with? The beautiful stylings of
Jewel.
That vagabond living out in her car. Jewel.
Yeah, we talked about her story about she was doing shows and living in a car. Mm-hmm. This is written by Steve Poltz as well, and Jewel. They wrote it together. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm not sure if they were a couple or not. He's in the film clip for it as well. Film clip was directed by Sean Penn.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, because he dated Jewel for a little bit as well.
Yeah.
I can't remember if that crossed over at the same time, yeah.
So Steve Poltz is still touring. He's quite often out in Australia. Friend of mine who you know and most people in Melbourne comedy know, a guy called Milan,
right?
It brings him. He's very good friends with Milan.
Okay.
And so he introduced me to Steve Poltz once.
Great.
And I didn't realize that until now that he wrote for Jewel. So I'm like, all right, he's got some money.
Yeah. I was also shocked, and this is probably just my own bias. I thought Who Will Save Your Soul would be her number one most played on Spotify. But it's this by a country mile.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't, because Who Will Save Your Soul was the one we talked about last time.
Right.
Which was the first single, which I think was the higher song in this country. But yeah, I guess, I don't know.
This people, one has the staying power.
People love this one. So they had to re-record this.
So just to go back, could this have been the one that Jewel did the karaoke thing with when it went viral a couple of years ago?
Maybe, yes.
Maybe it was.
Well, this got to number.
I'm never going to look it up.
Got number two in the US and Canada. Of course, Canada. It's so Canadian. Canadians love anything a little bit country. And three in Australia. So maybe it was a bigger song here, but I still remember the other one more. So they got her to re-record the song for a more radio-friendly version. I think that just means cut it down, take some verses off, make the chorus come in quicker.
Putting some mention of yolks into the lyrics.
It didn't get much of attention and it was cancelled. And then they pulled the video from MTV and then they returned again for a third time. And the version called the radio version. And that's the one that she has on her greatest hits as well. And that's when it charted. So singing, check. Yodeling, she can do that. Write poetry, yes, she can. Acting, yes. She's in Ang Lee's movie. What's the movie?
Is this around 97? Ice Storm?
99, yes, Ice Storm.
Oh, okay.
Yep, and she was cast because her teeth were crooked. And he was like, you're the only one in Hollywood with crooked teeth.
I've heard about the crooked teeth with Jewel, yeah.
Yep.
Those are the two things I know about Jewel. Crooked teeth, lived in a car, and I guess now is a super famous singer.
Yes. Lip sync? Not really. So she was to sing the national anthem at the Super Bowl in 98 in San Diego, where she was introduced as San Diego's own Jewel. She's not from San Diego.
Sorry to interrupt. My crazy brain has just informed me. Ice Storm was 97. I think Running with the Devil, Ang Lee, 99, which I think she was in.
Okay, maybe it's that one.
All right. Going back.
So, They introduced her as San Diego's own Jewel.
Right.
She's from Alaska, so she's not from San Diego.
She's from Alaska?
Still. Yeah.
Damn.
Yep. And she was criticized for lip-syncing the anthem. And then the Super Bowl had to come out and admit that, yes, we have our performers pre-record the vocals just so we can have some peace of mind that it's going to go okay.
Right.
And so she is the reason that they had to come out. A bit like saying, yes, we know wrestling's fake, but just we have to do this. So, yeah.
We can't give everyone a live mic. We can't trust them.
No. Yeah. So, Jewel, there you go. She's an icon for that.
Oh, great.
All right. Moving on. The song that knocked off Candle in the Wind for the top spot in America. This is Savage Garden and Truly, Madly, Deeply.
Take that, Princess Di, you dead dumb bitch.
He didn't even write a classic. He didn't even write a new song for her too. Just change the words for an old song.
97. Come on, Monroe spinning in a grave.
That's, you would be offended. I wrote a new song in your honor. No, you didn't. You just changed the words. Yeah. Anyway, all right. I've talked about him in the past. This Savage Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Hayes has been on the other podcast.
That's right, yeah.
Here's something I will say about them. I haven't said yet. I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
Savage Garden are just the rock set for the late 90s.
I've heard you say this.
Like, have I said this before? I don't think I've said this.
I think you've definitely brought them up in the context of rock set in...
Yeah, for American audiences, mm-hmm. they're a duo from a foreign land, but a foreign land which is not too foreign. It's a very predominantly white land. Mm-hmm. And so they're not, like, it's not scary, and it's just like... write some big radio-friendly pop hooks and, like, kind of have some guitars in there and they're real earwormy.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I think that's what they are. So, all right. How did Savage Garden crack America, Tim?
I do not know.
Well, let's find out.
Pass it away.
There was a man called Guy Zapolian.
I'm looking around a museum trying to think of a name off the top of my head. My name is Guy Zapolian.
So he was a Phoenix radio programmer who, on a whim, he was the one responsible for Red Red Wine, the UB40 Ooh. Song, cracking America 5 years after they released it. He just started playing it lots. He went, oh, I like really? This song from 5 years ago. And so he also started playing... Nothing's Gonna Change My Love for You by Glenn Medeiros after hearing it on Vacation in Hawaii. Okay, so that became a hit. So he had a bit of a Midas touch, if you will. So he was working as a music business consultant in the 90s and he heard I Want You, the thing. He was on a conference in Australia. So he took the song back with him to the US and then Savage Garden started angling for an American deal and the big labels were already familiar with the duo because this guy had been playing him on the thing. So... then this song came out and the boys, they went from Brisbane, mm-hmm. where they were living, to Sydney. Darren at that stage was married, but she didn't move down with him.
Right.
And they were living in a one-bedroom apartment and they could only have one meal a day, even though they had the hit with I Want You, mm-hmm. like that was earlier. So he thought he'd write a song for his wife who he missed dearly and he called it Magical Kisses.
And that opened the 2000 Olympic ceremony, right?
Well, this song is Magical Kisses.
Oh, right.
Yep. So he thought that, because he thought they changed the song. He said, "Oh, Magical Kiss is a bit of a weird title. Let's change it to Truly Madly Deeply." And he thought it would be a hidden track on the album when they did hidden tracks.
This?
Yeah, because he thought no one's going to listen to this sappy love song. But then Charles Fisher, who was their producer, was like, "No, no, the world loves sappy love songs," and he said, "You've just written your first number one hit." And he was right. Yeah. It was number one. It was number one for 11 weeks on the Adult Contemporary chart.
Hot damn.
And it remained on the charts for 123 weeks in 2013 going... in 2013, it was called the number one Adult Contemporary song of all time.
Oh, the boys did it.
They truly did.
Darren's associate.
Daniel. Darren and Daniel.
Darren and Daniel.
It's always the name I get mixed up with Daniel Johns because it's Daniel Jones.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I get confused with Daniel Johns as well.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Our final song for the album. This is a song that you cannot find on Spotify.
Not on Spotify.
It is on YouTube though. And this is Rani and her song, Always On My Mind. On Rani's website, it says that this...
Oh, they got Rani.org?
Got .au. Got a lot of airplay on Triple J. And I don't think that's true.
No.
I don't remember this song being played on Triple J ever.
And it sounds like it had a lot of play in elevators.
In the background of Home and Away.
Yeah. Coles Radio.
Well, she did play it on IMT in Melbourne Tonight, hosted by Frankie J. Holden.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so...
Well, we've had the headliner of Savage Garden, the crowd wants more. The encore act comes out. It's Rani!
Okay, so it was released in June 1997. Mm-hmm. It's the lead single from her debut album, The Infinite Blue, and that album peaked at 33 on the ARIA charts. Okay. In the ARIA Music Awards, she was nominated for two awards, Best Pop Release and Best New Talent, lost them both to Natalie Imbruglia. Okay. On the single, it had a remix by Josh Abrahams of Totally Addicted to Bass fame.
Oh, Pure Tone.
Whoa, yeah. And according to on Discogs, Paul Gray from the Aussie band Wah Wah Knee wrote this song with Rani.
I remember Wah Wah Knee. I don't know the name.
Most famous because they used a keytar.
Right.
Yeah. That's why they were famous.
Okay.
But here is the big fact.
Okay. Josh was sizzling this before the show.
Rani, Nepo baby.
Oh, my goodness me.
Her father.
Who would have thought the talent exhibited in Always On My Mind.
Her father, Kamal.
Whoa!
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
This is the daughter of Kamal. Now, this is the other thing I didn't know. Kamal... is not his name. His name is actually Candia, and his surname is Kamal Avarsan.
Kamal Avarsan, yeah, all right.
But because he was a migrant to this country, he's like, these guys aren't going to be able to say my name. I probably butchered it then. So he just went by Kamal.
Right.
Although, like Diana Arnaid, he also added an H to it because it's spelled K-A-M-A-L.
Right.
And he said people would introduce me as Camel.
Right.
He's Camel, so he put the H there.
Well, he's
so
a cool dude.
Now, do you know who is responsible for Kamal's success in this country?
I think I've heard this story, but I can't recall who it is.
Rupert Murdoch.
Rupert Murdoch?
Yeah. So Rupert Murdoch became Kamal's sponsor. He saw him at a concert in Adelaide and then tipped him £10. This is in 1958.
Okay.
So £10, probably a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then encouraged him to move to Sydney. And without asking, Murdoch arranged for Kamal to perform a six-week season at the Australia Hotel in Sydney. So didn't ask Kamal if he'd do it. Just said, no, nah, booking, coming over here.
Oh, damn.
And he lived at the Murdoch's house for 2 years.
Jesus Christ. So what a story.
Yeah. Where Rupert Murdoch, an evil man, has made the world far worse. But this is one good thing that he's gone, oh yeah, I did a nice thing for this guy who
I can stay in my house for 2 years.
Yeah, this Malaysian Sri Lankan who was trying to break into the industry in Adelaide.
Damn, fuck. I mean, maybe my whole view of time is skewed, but 1958, I did not even think Murdoch was on the scene at that point. I didn't think he'd be that rich at the time.
Well, his mum was very rich.
Nepo.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she was a big patron for the arts. A lot of buildings in Victoria are because she donated lots of money. And so the library, there's lots of stuff thanking the Murdoch family, which when I used to work there, you used to go, oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Do not take this out of context. Good on you, Murdoch family. I support this one thing you've done. And the Kamal thing as well.
Yes.
You know what? Your track record, they're doing pretty good.
That's two things. Okay, yeah. Now it's the time. That's all the songs from the album.
Let's by the way, listeners, if you ever want to see a guy who looks exactly like Guy Pearce circa 1997, watch Rani's music video clip.
It is. I really
thought it was Guy Pearce. It's him?
It's not him.
Oh, no. Fuck. I really thought it was Guy Pearce for a second.
That would have been great. Okay, let's go through.
Okay.
Let's go through this album, starting with Is It a Hit? Mbop by Hanson.
It's an absolute classic.
Of course,
hit.
It's a hit. Okay. Bitch by Meredith Brooks.
Hit.
Okay, two. Okay. We have Semi-Charm Life by Third Eye Blind.
It's an in-stadium home run.
Hit. All right. Song two, Blur.
Out of the park.
4 out of 4. I Go Off, Don't Run Aid.
For a song I'd not heard before, I would say hit.
Hit. Calypso, Spider Bait.
It's a hit.
We're batting at 100.
Round on the bases.
You Were Meant For Me by Jewel.
It's a hit.
Truly, Madly, Deeply, Savage Garden.
You can't even see the ball anymore. The crack of the lightning, the cracker jacks are in the air. The natural himself, he's gone. They've only gone and bloody loaded the bases. Bottom of the ninth. All that can win this game is a certified mega hit. You need a Barry Bonds coming up to the home plate. Oh, you've got a tough customer in the pitcher.
He's got
some gel behind his ear. He's rubbing it on the ball. Bases loaded, bottom of the ninth. Who's stepping up?
Rani with Always On My Mind.
Somehow gets 3 strikes in one and loses the whole World Series.
8 out of 9, though. The highest score we've ever had.
That's it. It generally was a great playlist.
It is.
And
it
thankfully,
is really
Rani's not on Spotify.
It really is a very good first half of songs. Man. We did it, Tim.
We did it. We finally did it.
Two men sat in a room on a Sunday and listened to music together. We finally did it. They said it couldn't be done.
Men would rather listen to music together than go to therapy.
All right. Thank you so much, Tim.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's a lot of fun.
You're not doing a show on the festival, but you are a part of M's Debutante.
Yes, show. M's Debutante. It's only doing 2 shows this year at the Victoria Hotel in the city. Book online. I'm there on the 8th of April doing a fun little character. It's going to be a lot of great people on that lineup as well. So book tickets. Speaking of Victoria Hotel, if you're in Brunswick and listening to this, I host trivia every Wednesday at the Victoria Hotel. We do a music round. I did 1997 last week. A lot of these appeared. It's great. Great time.
Call your trivia team. Diana Arnade goes off.
Do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see if there's anyone there who listens. Great. Hey, everyone who's listening to this, I am doing. The festival has started tonight. It starts, and I'm doing my first podcast at Morris House, which is Old European Beer Cafe, Saturdays at 3 o'clock, and then April 4, I'm doing the best of 97 100% hits. Have some great performers performing. One I can confirm now. So we have Jude Pearl doing a Shania Twain song, and her backing band just happened to be those boys from Tripod.
Oh, beautiful.
So it's going to be very, very good. So get your tickets at joshell.com.au. You'll hear some of the songs that we discussed today will be performed live. There'll be a big screen with the words. We're going to have a big karaoke sing-along. Plus, on April 18, I am doing the live Don't You Know Who I Am at Max Watts as part of the Festival Club as well. So the lineup there is Mark Watson, Ed Gamble, Deanne Smith, and Sarah Schaefer. So 4 internationals, heaps and heaps of fun. 2 of them have not done it before, which is always good as well. Hey, thanks everyone who's Patreon subscribers. You guys are the best. Go to patreon.com/DYKWIA and get all the Pod Machine episodes there. That's enough for me. I'm going to go. It's Sunday. See ya. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.